Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So, how many of you have ever heard a joke that you don't quite understand? Anyone been there? Good. How about this one? You ever heard a joke and you went ahead and laughed with it even though you had no idea what was funny? Anyone been there? Been that one. Even worse, had anyone ever told you a joke that you don't understand and yet they went through the process of explaining to you why it was funny? Anyone been in that situation? It's no longer funny. If you've ever watched The Big Bang Theory, there's a guy by the name of Sheldon who was often in that situation. And then the worst of all worst, have you ever been the punchline of a joke and you didn't recognize it until the joke was over? Anyone been in that situation? Good, then you can identify what we're going to be talking about today. Many Bible stories have multiple layers that are often hard to understand. And until you begin to peel back all the layers and begin to understand what it's about, it really doesn't make sense. And this is what's going on in today's story of the 10 lepers. So I'm going to take a little back through this story. I typically don't do this type of sermon, but I've challenged myself to do a little bit more of a teaching instead of a sermon that I would typically do. So Jesus was on his way from Jerusalem, going through the area of Samaria and Jerusalem. There's a kicker word in here. It's Samaria. 900 years before Jesus walked this path, there was a guy by the name of King Omar who was very powerful in his time. He looked upon the hill. The hill was called Mount Gerizim, and he purchased it. He developed a very big city where his power, influence, and money developed a great city in that region. And after Israel was split up, it became a very powerful area of worship for the Sumerians. 300 years after this, the Babylonians took over. And it was in their process that they recognized the power of this area. Everything funnels right through this little zone. They recognized the power of that area, so they made it their military headquarters for the next couple hundred years. As Babylonians typically did when they took over a region, they would gather all of the people who were from that town, typically Sumerians, send them out. "We don't want you here anymore. They're gone." This is typically what they did. But more importantly, they only left the workforce, what we would call the blue-collar workers, behind, which were the farmers, what we would often quote nowadays as the uneducated. And what these people unfortunately started doing was sleeping around with the new people who were primarily the Mesopotamians and Syrians that were coming into the area. So this took over for the next 200 years. You got to put these numbers into perspective. So 200 years after this happened, there was a guy by the name of King Cyrus who was very nice to the Jews. He decided to go ahead and let them rebuild their temple after they had destroyed it. They said, "Okay, now you can go back and rebuild it." The animosity that had started 300 years earlier was this. These people were sleeping around with people who were not Jewish. They have made the line unclean. And what ended up happening, and it's recorded in our scripture in Ezra and in Nehemiah, all of these people started to gather to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. It was a great opportunity to bring our people back. And what ends up happening at this point is the Samaritans said, "Oh, we're going to come and help you." And you know what? The Jews told them, "Nope, no you're not." And it's even recorded in Nehemiah as these words, "So I sent them," meaning the Samaritans, "away from me. Remember them, meaning the Samaritans, my God, because they made the priesthood unclean and the agreement of the priesthood in Leviticus unclean. So I purified all of them, meaning the Samaritans, everything that was foreign, and this is taken out of Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 28 through 30. 150 years after this whole situation happened, the Samaritans joined a group of people called the Seleucidians, and there was this unfortunate war that took place in that whole region where the Samaritans joined the Seleucidians and basically disgraced the temple that they wanted to be a part of building. After the war, they took the bones of their enemies and scattered them all over the temple. If you want a closer visual, imagine dead people up here. Not cool. You get it? Okay, a little bit of animosity. So Jesus was on his way from Jerusalem, going through the area of Samaria to Jerusalem. Kicker word, Samaritan. As he came into the small town, and this is verses 12 through 14, as he came into a small town, 10 men who had skin disease met him there. They did not come close to Jesus, but called out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw this, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest," and the 10 men were going there were healed. In order to understand this body of the scripture, we have to go way back in Jewish history. Right after the Jews were kicked out of Egypt, they needed a system. They needed a way of being. They needed some kind of structure in order to bring their community together. So 1,300 years before Jesus came on the planet, there was now this thing called the Levitical Code. And this is how our people are going to live and work together. And in Scripture, we find this passage. This is taken out of Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2. When someone might have a skin disease or a swelling or a rash or a bright spot, if the sore looks like it's harmful skin disease, this person must be brought to Aaron and the priest or the Aaron's priesthood. If you have a pimple, you might be kicked out. Do you get it? They actually created communities for what they called these type of people. Now, often in churches, when you hear of these type of diseases, you'll often think of Hansen disease, where you'll see people completely covered, their skin's falling off, some of their limbs might be chewed up, all of these things that go on. It wasn't like that back then. Basically, if you had a spot on your skin and somebody made it suspect, they may say, "He's got a spot." And they might turn you into the priesthood and say, "You know what? This guy might be unclean." They would have to go to the priest. The priest would recognize it. And if the priest thought it was a spot that might make you unclean, they would export you out of the community and basically put you with all of these other people who were like you. And for a period of 7 days, you had to go through a period of cleansing where you wore all of these garments so that you might not infect others. This was a code that they lived by. You get this? As he came into a small town, 10 men who had skin disease met him there. They did not come close to him, but he called him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw the men, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." As the 10 men were going, they were healed. Jesus understood the Levitical code. He got it. He was Jewish. He knew what this meant. So these 10 men, as he's walking from this area, find these guys who walk up to him and say, and I almost think they did this on a dare, "Ask that guy to heal us. He's kind of a holy guy. Yo, Jesus, heal us." And it happens. And it happens. Okay? These people were outcast of outcast. Number one, they were Samaritans. Number two, they had a skin disease that made them more outcast. A little background on this guy named Luke who wrote this story. The story of the 10 lepers only shows up in Luke's gospel. Why? As Paul writes in Colossians, number one, Luke is a physician. He cares about the body. He cares about stories of how people are healed. All right? And all of, as many scholars say nowadays, most of Luke's gospel is about Jesus' earthly ministry. And the compassion that he had for those who were sick, for those who were needed healing, and for those who needed to be reunited into a community of believers. He also wrote the book of Acts, which is often called the book of the Holy Spirit. Luke was a very intelligent writer, and he took many of his skills and talents to apply them to Scripture. I'm trying to find my notes here, sorry about that. Think about people who might need compassion. He came to a small town. 10 men who had skin diseases met with him. They did not come close to him, but said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Now, how many of you can think of communities of people who might need mercy? Think about it. It's scattered throughout all of history. Very broad and unfair generalizations. The Jews during the Nazi Holocaust, they need mercy. African-Americans during the time of the Civil Rights Movement, they need mercy. 10,000 children who are dying every day because of lack of nourishment, they might need mercy. Even us in this room might be with a group of people who might need mercy. Yet, during these times of atrocity, as we want to say, there were people who stand out, like Martin Luther King, during the civil rights, who recognize God behind the movement. All right. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And the 10 men were going, they were healed. This verse is about communal acceptance. Community acceptance. Community acceptance. If you're in high school, maybe being in the in crowd. If you are at church, it might be finding a Sunday school that you can connect with. If you are a student, it might be finding a group of people who are your age to connect with. It's about community acceptance. Jesus followed the letter of the law according to Leviticus 13. Did you catch that little phrase? They didn't go near Jesus. They just asked him, "Yo, dude, heal us." And they did not approach him. Why? Because it was not proper in that time to go near a holy person if you were unclean. Awkward. It's kind of like why people who speak up here are often distant, and I don't like that. We're really not that holy. But back then, they were considered these holy people that you just don't go near. You just don't go near them. And Jesus healed them. And then the story really gets creative. In those days, one could only be healed when the priest pronounced that they were healed. And then they were allowed back into their community of acceptance. Jesus commanded those to do what is proper, but maybe he was critiquing the whole system. Maybe he was critiquing that whole system. And this is where it gets personal. This is taken out of verses 15 through 19. When one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. Then he bowed down to Jesus' feet and thanked him. And this man was, quote unquote, a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Is this Samaritan the only one that came back and thanked God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go on your way. You are healed because now you believe." This one man's act of thankfulness changed the entire game. And Luke was a creative writer. He knew this. This one person's act of thanking God changed the entire structure. Okay? For 1,500 years, put that number in your head, 1,500 years, people followed a code. They believed this was what was right. They did this because it was written in the code, and they followed this system. Yet this Samaritan, this outsider, this person who was ostracized, who had a skin disease, recognized for a moment, wait a minute, it's about God. This is about God. This is a God moment. He turned around, went to Jesus' feet, thanked him, and praised him. And you got to get this. So this Samaritan who for 600 years, who was ostracized because of who he was, and now even relegated to an outside community because he had a skin disease, was now brought back to a community He was brought back into the fold. Next, you have someone who was separated from his family and friends. And when he was brought back to this community, he now had a chance, a hope, a belonging, somewhere to go to. If you need the dramatic, this is what it might look like in my interpretation. This guy turns around. He's covered from head to foot in this gown. Jesus pronounces him healed. I don't know where his skin disease might have been, but wherever it was, I'm sure he might have looked. Does that make sense? Because you're not going to take it on somebody who goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm healed. You got it, dude." You're going to look wherever that was. And as skin diseases have an often to do, it'll take over a lot of your body. And I can see this guy visually removing his clothing to find out that he is healed. He was going along with the 9 others, and he turns around and says, "Wait a minute. We're healed, guys." He doesn't say that to him. He just turns around and talks to Jesus. And this is where it gets real dramatic. Jesus tells this person, and you have to understand that Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. He was not a recognized leader of that community. Make sense? In order to be pronounced healed, you had to present yourself in front of a priest. He wasn't that. He was just a rabbi, a great teacher that everyone followed. Jesus told the Samaritan to go on your way. Just go on your way. You're healed. It's your faith that has made you well. Wait, what? I don't have to present myself in front of a priest? Ouch. I'm healed. I can join my community of people because of you, God. Because of you. So maybe the story is about the 9 followers. Maybe it's about the way that they've always done what's right because they believe the system for so long. They recognize the truth behind that and they do what's right according to the code. Or maybe this story is about one person who had often been ostracized because of who they are and what their people had done. Or maybe even this story might be about an outsider showing those on the inside that there might be something wrong. Maybe even the story is about those who are coming to a breaking point where they finally recognize God for who he is. They pause and say, "It's about you. It's about God." Not necessarily all these religious beliefs and all this other stuff that we do that we're acting and believing in you, but it really is about you, God. And maybe at the core, the story is about us. Maybe. Looking carefully at how we treat others who might be outsiders, how we might develop the eyes that Jesus had at that one moment in order that we can bring people back into the fold. My experience here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church for the past 12 years is this: we are strongest when we are personal. We are strongest when we are personal. Personal in our relationship to Jesus, not because there's some guy up here telling you about him, but you open his words, you talk to him. We are strongest when we are real with other people who are sitting next to us, where we find a community of belonging to say, "You know what? No matter what my past has been, I know that I can go to these people because they love me the way Jesus did." Maybe. And we had a staff meeting a few weeks ago where we talked about this very thing, where we said, "What makes us strong?" And I said, "Well, when we are honest and real." And that's what Vic wanted me to talk to you about today, is to give you opportunities to be honest and real with a community of people, knowing that Stonebridge United Methodist Church is never going to judge you because of who you are, what you've done. But more importantly, we see the God in you and how we need you as a part of us. We've sent you an invitation to invite others to come to this church often. But sometimes we have to be real in front of God first in order to know what this is about. As I started this sermon, sometimes we don't know that we may be the punchline of a joke. I did a sermon series many, many, many years ago about comedy in the gospel, because a lot of people don't get that. But there really is a lot of funny stuff going on in this story today. And unfortunately, the punchline is us. When have we gotten to that point, no matter what our background may be, no matter what our history may be, no matter what the spots on our skin are, to say, God, it's not about any of that stuff. It's about you. It's about you. I can live with the frailties of my life because of you. I can live with the things that are wrong in my life because of you. And now I found a whole community of people who love and accept me because of you. Find your place in the midst of this story. Let us pray. Dear Father God, you find moments of healing when you reach out to those who are in groups. But more importantly, when that one person turns around to finally recognize the truth of who you are, we can honestly say, God, we need you. At every moment of our day, we think of you, God. And I pray for opportunities where we can have others join our community because maybe we recognize the need that they have for you also. Watch over our hearts and guard us to live your life. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.